For those of you that may be here for the first time or just catching up on this series, we are looking at Israel leaving Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, going through the wilderness, and then crossing over into Canaan, into their place of destiny. And we have seen in the scripture that it tells us that this journey that Israel took is a metaphor and is an example for us. In fact, right in that portion, it says this is an example for us today that we leave Egypt, leave the world. We cross the Red Sea. The Bible says that's water baptism. We come into the wilderness. It's a place of life, but there's no spiritual fruit in the wilderness. And we need to cross our Jordan and cross the Jordan into the place of our destiny, the place that God has for you, where you're productive, where you are building the kingdom of God. And we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that with most of these people that came out of Egypt, God was not well pleased because they died in the wilderness. And that we have been trying to come to grips with this truth. Is it possible that with most Christians, God is not well pleased? Yes, they've received their salvation. Their eternal destiny is already sealed. But they have not entered into all that God has for them. And as the children of Israel died in the wilderness because they didn't have a belief to cross over the Jordan into their destiny, is it possible that we get satisfied with being in the wilderness, sort of wandering around? We really don't know what our purpose is. We don't know what our calling is. We because of our unbelief or a sense of, well, I don't know what God has for me, we don't cross the Jordan into the area where we actually begin to fulfill God's plan and purpose for our life. And so we have gone to Joshua chapter 1, 2, and 3, and we've been looking at that story, how they crossed the Jordan, drawing the analogies out of it. And this is actually our seventh message on this. And so the first message was this: you need to die to your past and move into your future. Moses died, and then he said to Joshua, then you move in. So that's the first point. If you're going to move into your destiny, you have to die to your past. Don't let your past influence your future. The second point was your initiative determines your possession. It said, every place that the sole of your foot tread, I've given you. And so it's up to us to take an initiative to step out. The third point was found from Joshua 1 and verse 7, where he gives three necessary attitudes they needed to have. And we need to have these if we're going to move into our destiny. Be strong, be courageous, be persistent. And we talked about that. The fourth message, we talked about success is ensured by knowing and acting on God's word. As this group of people were going to cross a literal Jordan, Joshua told them and said, the book of the law, don't let it depart from you. You meditate on it day and night, and then that will ensure that we will have good success. Are we in the Word of God? Are you meditating upon it? Scripture gives us tremendous promise that says, if we meditate on His Word, whatever we do will prosper. That is a tremendous promise. And many of us are in the wilderness and we're not taking advantage of it. The Bible sits on the shelf. We're not into it. We're not realizing it. We're not meditating on it. But if we do, the Bible says you will have good success at whatever you do. That was the fourth message. The fifth message was God's command is to prepare with a deadline in mind. He told them, you're going to cross over in 3 days. Prepare. And so we saw that you needed to have a sense, and we have a goal, spiritual goals. They're abstract, but we need to make them concrete, and we need to put some deadlines in our schedule. I'm going to do this by a such a period of time. That will help us to move across our Jordan. Then the last time we shared, it was don't go alone, gain the support of others. And we found that there were some tribes who already had their inheritance, but the Lord said, you go with the others, you cross the Jordan, you help them possess their land, then you come back. And so we saw the need to be together. We need other people. You're not meant to live the Christian life on your own. You need to position yourself with others, have people around you, be part of the church, have people that you make heart-to-heart contact with, It's not enough just attending a service. You need to be connected in the body of Christ. This will help us to cross the Jordan. Now, we ran out of time that last message, and there was one last fill-in that we didn't give you, and I'll just give it to you this morning before we continue on. And that was this: realize that God's direction comes through human leadership. Realize that God's direction comes through human leadership. Many times we do not enter into what God has for us because we have this sense that just you and it's just me and the Lord. I'll hear what God has to say to me. I don't want anyone to tell me, because we can look at other people and we see their failures. And we don't submit to God's spiritual leadership that He's put in our lives. We all need to submit. If Jesus had to submit at 12 years of age when He recognized who He was and said, I must be about my Father's business, but He went back and submitted to Joseph and Mary, and from ages 12 to age 30, He worked in a carpenter shop. If Jesus submitted to that, think about Him, 29 years of age, knowing what His mission and His calling is, and He's still planing the wood in the carpenter shop, submitting to His father, Joseph, his, or father as far as, in the eyes of the world. So what we just need to realize, God speaks to us through other people. And the Bible tells us to submit to those who are over us in the Lord, because it's not beneficial to you if you don't. And so I don't want to get into that. That's, you know, that was last time, the message, but I wanted to just fill that in because I don't want you to miss it. We don't submit to human leadership because we don't feel, we can't trust them. They rebelled against Moses when he was trying to lead them. Oh, you know, who says that you only speak to us? And God had to show them and say, listen, Moses is my anointed one. And so part of entering your destiny is realizing who is over me in the Lord, who has a spiritual care over me, and that you come into a place of submission, not blind obedience, but a submission where your heart says, I believe God's going to speak to me through these leaders. If you have a heart like that, God will protect you, even when those leaders may be wrong. I've seen more people go wrong, in my experience, by saying, it's just me and the Lord, I'm just going to, whatever the Lord says, I'm not going to listen to anyone else, than people who have submitted to human leadership, godly leadership, and they've led them astray. That can happen, but God will soon step in, you'll know in your heart, but the natural default position should be, God will speak to me through other leaders. See, when in that case, God spoke to Joshua, said, tell the people to cross over. Joshua said, pick up the ark, we're going now. And the people responded to Joshua's command to cross over. Okay, I'm going to leave that quickly, but I just wanted to add that final point from last message. In your bulletin, there is a fill-in sheet, and we will launch into this message. The next thing that the Scripture says, and in Joshua chapter 2, says, now Joshua the son of Nun sent out two men from Acacia grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. Go view the land. And so here is our first and seventh. It'll say seven because we're tracking through this. The seventh point is this: scope out the new territory. Scope out the new territory. When God is going to bring you into a new area, a new dimension, something new in your life, and folks, realize it, He has something new for you. He has something fresh for you. He doesn't want us just to wander around in the same territory. He always is moving us forward. He wants you to cross that border. He wants you to step into something new, something fresh, something that you think perhaps is beyond you. But God is challenging us to step out. So whatever it may be, whatever that spiritual call is, you need to scope out that territory the best you can. And here's your first fill-in. Let your body see what your spirit senses. Let your body see what your spirit senses. God's going to lead you in your spirit. You're going to have a sense of what it is. And it has to start there. The spiritual vision. God gives you a vision of something. It can be in your natural work. It could be in your marriage. It could be in some other kind of endeavor. It can be about your ministry in the church. Whatever it might be, there's a feeling. God's leading you on. He wants you to take another step. And as He does so, what you need to do, when you're sensing it in your spirit, you need to let your natural eyes see what your spirit is sensing. We find in the scripture here, and we'll go back to Moses, who has died at this point, but when they first got to the land, it says this in Deuteronomy 34:4. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I have caused you to see it with your eyes." What God did was take Moses up on a mountain, and He let him look in, even though Moses didn't enter. Joshua led them, but Moses saw it with his eyes. The Lord said, "Here's what I've told you. Here, 40 years you've led this people, and they're out here. I want you to see it with your eyes." And there's something about when you have a spiritual vision, you need to see it. How do you see it? Well, maybe you read about it. Maybe you talk to people that are involved in that kind of thing. You may volunteer in an area. Test it out. Try to get a physical vision of it before you actually step into it, because you're feeling it. And so, I don't know how to give a natural example. Let's just take a real simple example of this. Say the Lord's saying, you feel in your heart, I would love to get involved with the children. I see these kids every week coming up here. I saw VBS last week. And, I would love to be able to help children. Well, what should be the first thing you do? Well, you need to maybe come to the leaders and say, I've got this feeling. Tell me about what would be involved. Maybe you sit in and you observe a class so that you get an idea of what's happening. Maybe you volunteer. I'm trying to give you a practical example of this. But it applies to whatever area you're moving into. You need to think about it. One of the things that I find is so beneficial as a pastor of this church is going to conferences. I love to go to conferences, churches that are larger than us. I love to go and be there and see how they do things and how they organize and how they conduct themselves in things. That's important. That's scoping it out. You scope out the new land. You're feeling something in your heart. You need to check it out. I don't know whether anybody here recognizes the name Glenn Sonmore. Glenn Sonmore, you'd have to be a little older. He was the coach of the Minnesota North Stars, the hockey team in the NHL. They're now the Dallas, I think, I don't know where they are now. But anyway, they were the Minnesota North Stars. And he was the coach and took them to the Stanley Cup Final. And I remember sitting and watching, and I had interest because Glenn Sonmore was my high school coach. When I went to school, he coached me in cross country. He coached me in the football team that I was on in high school. Then he went on, because he had played hockey. That was his thing. We all knew he had played hockey in the NHL, but he was coaching in a high school in Hamilton. But I saw how he coached. When we did the cross country run, it was 2.5 miles. He took our team and we walked the course. This is before the race. And he would tell us, you're going to be coming down here. Then he said about you know, he said about halfway in, there was this hill that we had to come up. And he said to us, now when you get to this hill, he said, this is where everybody else is tired. He said, I want you to think about it, anticipate it. He said, when you get to this hill, this is where you pass people. He said, you pass people on this hill. He said, everything in you are going to be tired, but he said, realize that's what they are. And you are going to really gain at this hill. I remember running the race and getting to that hill. Think, this is it. And I don't know how many people I passed going up that hill. Why did? Because he had allowed us to see it. When we were playing football, we were a young high school, and our football team wasn't very good. It was a new school, and you know, we weren't expected to win any games. And there was this, I forget the name of the school, but they were the powerhouse. And they had mowed down their competition, winning like 45-6, 45-0. I mean, they were, and we were playing them. This is what Glenn Sonmore did. He took the whole football game. He said, we're going over to watch them play. He took us to a game that they played against another team. And he showed us how what their offensive strategy was, which was to run wide. They had a guy that was a really tremendous runner. And they give him, and he'd always go wide, and he always made his big gains wide. And so they designed our defense that we would cut that off. And we played them. We lost that game 6-0. But it was we shut down their offense. So much so, at the end of the game, and this had never happened before, the coach from the opposing team came into our locker room, and he said, I just want you guys to know, you played us harder than anyone we've ever played. He said, we didn't think we were going to have this kind of battle. And he said, I just want to congratulate you. He said, I know you've lost, but he said, I'm here to tell you how amazed I am at what you did. Now, that was our coach. And I'm telling you all that, he allowed us to scope out the territory. And so many times when you're going to enter into something, you need to just say, okay, I'm going to let my eyes see what my spirit is sensing. Now let's move quickly to the next one. When you're there, you need to observe the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Again, speaking to Moses, when he had sent spies, this is actually 40 years earlier, but it's the same analogy because they were sending the spies out into the land. And in Numbers 13:17, then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and see what the land is like, whether the people dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. And so he sent them out, and he said, check it out. Look at the good things, the bad things. And they came back, and I didn't write the verses down, but you can read it. They came back, and they said, well, there's walled cities. He said, the people are the sons of Anak, and they're giants. And they said, we're grasshoppers in their sight, is the term that 10 of the spies said when they came back. But they also brought back the fruit, and the fruit was tremendous. And so they showed the good, the bad, the ugly. And when you go into the land, you need to have your eyes open, not check out everything, not just rosy perspective. See the difficulties. See where you're going to have problems. So observe it. Anticipate the challenges. Jesus did this exact same thing in the Garden of Gethsemane before he went to the cross. In the cross he prayed. He envisioned this cup coming to him, which was a cup filled with all the sins of people in the world. And when he did it, he drew back from it. He anticipated the suffering, the agony, not just the physical, but the spiritual suffering. And he said, Father, be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he said, not my will, but thy will be done. In the garden, he anticipated what could happen. He went to Peter, who was sleeping, and he said to Peter, watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. You're not preparing yourself. I've already told you, he didn't say it right here in this portion, but he had told him earlier, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster crows in the morning. And he says to Peter, you know, watch and pray, but They slept. Jesus anticipated what he was going to face, and he was victorious. Peter didn't, and he failed. So again, just the emphasis that you need to see everything. Anticipate the problems. You need to recognize ahead of time that there will be obstacles, unforeseen difficulties, and painful experiences. If you don't see them in advance, they will blindside you. There have been so many people who begin to enter into their destiny, but because they didn't anticipate the problems and the obstacles and the problems, they get demoralized and discouraged. But you need to realize this is part of why we're scoping out the territory. Your next fill-in is this. Expect to face border bullies. Expect to face border bullies. It says in Joshua 2 and verse 3, "So the king of Jericho went to Rahab, saying, 'Bring out the men who have come to you.' The men went in to spy out the land. They hid in Rahab's house. Then the king of Jericho comes to Rahab with the men and says, 'You know, show it, bring out the men.'" In other words, they're going to arrest these guys. They faced opposition when they moved in, and Rahab had to hide them, let them down over a wall so they could escape. So what does all this mean to us? It speaks to us today, because this is an analogy given for our benefit. There are going to be times when you move in to any kind of new territory, and you're going to be attacked. There's going to be opposition. Satan has sentries stationed to keep you from your inheritance. See, this was their inheritance that God was going to give them. Now, what is your inheritance? Ephesians chapter 1, Paul was writing to this church. He said, "I pray that you would understand the inheritance that you have in Christ." We all have an inheritance. God wants to give us things. And we need to see it and understand it. But you need to realize that you will always be attacked in the place of your inheritance. Now that is just a given. Whenever you've been to move into something new, maybe a new job, a new realm, a new ministry, whenever you are moving into an area of increase, a new dimension, just realize there is an enemy of your soul who wants to keep you from doing it. You'll have to battle through those border bullies. They are on the border of new territory. It's so easy to say, "I don't want to do that. I'll just stay here in the wilderness." But you'll miss what God has for you. You'll miss your inheritance. So you have to be willing to say, "I'm going to have to do a battle here. I'm going to have to step out." Obstacles in your path are not an indication of impending failure. Just the opposite. Remember that an attack of the enemy is evidence that he anticipates your success. Satan attacks anything that God has chosen to promote. So realize when opposition comes in your way, don't be deterred from it. It's like that hill that I mentioned to you earlier that we had to climb in our cross-country run. That was an obstacle. That was something that you'd say, "That's bad. I don't want to do that." But when you anticipate the obstacle and you realize I can turn that obstacle into something that will be beneficial, and realize that's why Satan's attacking me so strong. Have you ever felt that? I have from time to time. Every now and then you just realize, "Wow, am I ever under an attack here?" It just seems like whatever it might be, it can be situations that happen. Maybe it's temptations that you just feel like I'm just being flooded with temptation here. And Satan wants to say, "See, you're weak. See, you're not able." But you need to realize he's attacking you because he's anticipating your success. He sees you're at the border of something. He sees you're going to enter into something. So he's throwing all of his forces against you. That's where you just need to realize, "I have to persevere. I'm going to get through this border here because I can round out. I can enter into something." It's like launching a boat from a from into the ocean, there's the waves that come in and the breakers. And it's hard to get past the breakers. But once you get past the breakers, there's more smooth sailing. And so you just have to say, I'm going to be persistent. These characteristics that we spoke about before. And realize this is an indication that God is doing something special in my life. Here's your next fill-in. When you're there, when you evaluate, don't leave God out of the calculation. When you evaluate, don't leave God out of the calculation. Again, earlier, 40 years earlier, when they had sent the spies, and which really caused them to spend that 40 years in the wilderness, the 12 spies went out. Caleb and Joshua were part of the 12 tribes. But when they came back, I didn't write again all the verses down, but you can read it here in Numbers 13 and Numbers 13. They came back and they said, yeah, the land is good. Yes, there's fruit, but there's walled cities and there's giants and we're just grasshoppers in their sight and we're not able to do anything. And then it says in verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against this people. They are stronger than we. They had spied out the land. 10 of the spies came back and said, yes, the land's good, but boy, we saw the walled city. We see how big the people are. They are stronger than we are. We're not able to do it. It was only Caleb and Joshua alone who said, we're able to go up and take it. But when the people heard the report, you can read it in this chapter, it said they cried all night long. I mean, they had come out of Egypt. They were anticipating crossing over. They had received the Ten Commandments. They'd come to the border. They'd sent out the spies. They come back, and 10 of the spies says, you know what? We can't do it. And the people cried all night long. You have to be careful when you're scoping out the territory and you see the good and the bad and the ugly and you see the opposition that you, in your calculation, you say, well, I guess I can't do it. You always have to bring God into the calculation. There's always a God factor. Whatever you're doing spiritually, you have to say, I see the opposition, I see the problem, but if God's called us to this, we're well able to go up and take the country. Otherwise, you'll cringe, you'll shy away, you'll stay in the wilderness, you'll die in the wilderness, you'll still be God's people, but you won't do what God wants. See, God can do so much greater than what we think, whatever it is. When God calls people to do things, it's always, before I get to that, let me say this. Failure seldom stops you. What stops you is the fear of failure. Failure seldom stops you. It's the fear of failure. Now, apply this to your own walk, your own life. Because this is for us, not just talking about a story in the past. This is for you. What's stopping you? What would you sort of like to get involved in, but you say, well, I can't do that? Have you allowed God to come into the equation? Is He calling you to it? Every step that we've taken in this church has always been a step beyond us. Whether it was, moving out here and renovating that building, whether it's buying this property that we had here, whether it's building this building, buying the property beside us, or the project that's before us right now of building this auditorium. There's border bullies. They stand there and say, you can't do that as a church. That's beyond you. You can't do that. But you have to allow the God factor. It's not being presumptuous, but it's a sense, Lord, have you called us to this? And we're going to believe you that you're going to release power so that we can do this. And so whatever it might be in your life, like I say, a new job, or you, there's a dimension in, with your kids or with your spouse, and you just want to see it get better. And everything will cry out. Satan hates that. He'll fight against that. He'll put every bully there to say, no, that won't, it will never get better. It'll never get better. But you got to allow God to come into it. Can God change a situation? Can God change a heart? And you have to believe that. And take your stance and say, we're able to go up. You know, sometimes it's just a matter of timing. There was a man who, this is just a story, that was a Christian, and he always optimistic and always felt, you know, that he could do anything God wanted him to do. And his friend said to him one time when they were standing by this river, he said, I imagine you think you can walk on water. And he said, yes, I think I can. And the man said, well, show me. And he said, well, he said, I can't do it yet. And the guy sort of scoffed at it. But later on, a few months later, in winter, they were there again. And the man said to his friend, remember when you asked me if I could walk on water? Watch this. And he stepped out and he walked across that frozen water. And he said, all I needed was a change of atmosphere. Folks, there's something in this. There's maybe something before you right now that you believe God's called you to. And by faith, you're saying we can do it. But you can't do it right now. But it doesn't mean that you can't do it. It just means I can't do it right now. I just have to have a change of atmosphere. We just have to let a few months go by. Again, we can't build this building right now. But give us a few months. Let there be a change of atmosphere. See, there's something that's working in us. Let me read this little writing I found. And it would ask this question. Can a caterpillar fly? If you said no, you'd be partially correct. Actually, a caterpillar can fly, but it must have a transformation first. The butterfly begins life as a caterpillar, a worm-like larva that spins a cocoon for itself. For weeks, the larva remains hidden within the cocoon as it undergoes metamorphosis. When it's time for the butterfly to emerge, it must struggle and fight its way out of the cocoon. It might be tempted to help this process. We may be tempted to help this process by tearing open the cocoon. But that's the worst thing we could do. The struggle makes it strong and enables it to fly. Butterflies need adversity to become what God intended them to be. We are all in a process of transformation. There is a life within us. There's a process of life working in each one of us. And what you have to do sometimes is just let it work its process. God usually calls us before we're ready. You can see it in the Bible over and over. He called people before they were ready. And they had to persevere. They had to stand it, whether it be Gideon, whether it be Saul. He called them and they weren't ready. But then they were made ready over a period of time and they stepped out and they accomplished what God had for them. You might be feeling something in your heart and you're saying, wow, I can't do it now. No, you may not be able to do it right now, but let the process of life continue in you. And don't give up on the process. Here's your last fill-in. Reaching your destination is a process over time. Is a process over time. During that time, you might face some negative things. It's not going your way. It looks like you're being defeated. But it is the same in life as it is in sports. The opposition can score some points. during the game, the opposition can score. But that doesn't determine the outcome. It's what is the score at the end of the game. And it's the same thing in our walk with God. There can be a point in your walk and you can say, what good is it now? But the game's not over. Joseph, sold by his brethren into Egypt. Joseph, is it going good? No, it's not. It's bad. He gets into Potiphar's household and it seems to go better. He rises through the ranks and you think, wow, you know, this isn't too bad. I'm the head steward in Potiphar's house. And then his wife, Potiphar's wife, lies about him, says he's trying to make advances. He's arrested. He's thrown into the dungeon. And then you ask him, what's the score now, Joseph? You tried to serve God. You tried to keep your integrity. Look what it got you. You're in the dungeon. But what does he do? He starts serving the jailer. And he rises. And then God works in the situation. A butler and a baker is in the prison. And I won't go into the whole story. But through that interpreting a dream, it comes to the ears of the Pharaoh. And then he's eventually brought out of the jail, not just to be free on the streets of Cairo, but takes him right to the palace. And he fulfills his destiny. But anywhere along the line, if you were keeping score, you'd say, this game is over. And that's what Satan wants you to say. It's over. It's over. But keep your faith. Keep pressing on. Let the process work. Realize it's a process of time. God often uses opposition to open doors for you. He uses opposition to open doors for you. The opposition to Joseph opened the door to the palace. Sometimes good things fall apart so that better things can fall together. Sometimes good things fall apart so that better things can fall together. Let's take heart to James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. This verse says you have to persevere, and you're going to persevere under trial. And this is a testing time. But if you'll do it, you're going to receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. That is the admonition we take out of this story this morning. Let me close with this final story that I came across. And some of you may have heard this before, but when I read it, I thought, you know what? It's such a simple little story, but it packs a wallop of a truth. One day, a farmer's donkey fell down into a well. The animal cried piteously for hours as the farmer tried to figure out what to do. Finally, he decided that the animal was old and the well needed to be covered up anyway. It just wasn't worth it to retrieve the donkey. So he invited all his neighbors to come over and to help him. They all grabbed a shovel and began to shovel dirt into the well. At first, the donkey realized what was happening, and he cried horribly. Then, to everyone's amazement, he quieted down. A few shovel loads later, the farmer finally looked down into the well. He was astonished at what he saw. With each shovel of dirt that hit his back, the donkey was doing something amazing. He would shake it off and take a step up. As the farmer's neighbors continued to shovel dirt on top of the animal, he would shake it off and take a step up. Pretty soon, everyone was amazed as the donkey stepped up over the edge of the well and happily trotted off. What's the moral of that story? Life is going to shovel dirt on you. It really is. The trick to overcoming that is to shake it off and take a step up. Each one of your troubles can be a stepping stone. God can turn it for good, what the devil means for evil. You can get out of the deepest wells by trusting in God. No matter what's thrown at you, let God be in the calculation. Shake it off. Don't let it affect your spirit, your attitude. Shake it off and take a step up. And you're going to enter into a freedom, and you're going to cross a border, and you're going to receive your inheritance, and you're going to make your life count for Christ. Will you stand with me this morning? Well, what does this message mean to you? What does it mean to me? What's the application in your life? There is one. These stories are written for our admonition. Do you want to be all that God wants you to be? Will you press through the difficulties? Will you let God factor in? Let the process of life happen and bring you to the point of victory. That's your desire this morning. Would you just raise your hand? Just signifying it to the Lord. Lord, that's my desire this morning. That's what I desire. Father, you see each hand that's raised today. We raise it sometimes, Lord, meekly. We raise it with a sense that we're not always what we should be. But Lord, we raise it in faith. We lift our hand in faith as we sang in the song this morning. Lord, we lift our hands in faith. We say, Lord, whatever you will, let it be done. Lord, we will trust the process. We're going to trust you. May you keep us from discouragement. May we shake the things off that's meant to bury us. May we shake them off and take a step up in the power of your Spirit. Lord, may there be an impartation to this congregation right now this morning. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.